15, look at verse 1. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand." There's a preaching of the gospel, there's a receiving of the gospel, and there's a standing in the gospel. A receiving of what is preached and a standing. What are you standing on? What did you hear preach? What did you receive? Verse 2. It says, "By which also you are saved," or "by which also you experience salvation." The word "saved" is not a past word when it comes to the gospel, New Testament. You don't say, "I was saved." I am saved. I am saved. It's a process. You got saved, okay, you gave your life to Christ. That's the entry point. We say, "by which you are being saved." That is, you continually experience protection, healing, deliverance, prosperity, preservation. That's what that word, that's what it means. It says, "if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain." Praise God. We are not believing in vain. We are not believing in vain. We have not believed in vain. I will not going to be in vain in the name of Jesus. So I want you to listen attentively this morning. Don't tune out. Don't tune off. Don't sleep off. God is going to bless you. Let's welcome Professor Ade Enukume as he brings the word this morning.
The yet another blessing of God inherent in the time we're spending with him this morning. Father, we give you praise in the name of Jesus. Your word says that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding unto the simple. Heavenly Father, we believe that there is light in your presence this morning. And Lord, we receive that light. We receive the blessing that comes with your word. Thank you, because something new will be added to us. And Lord, the multiple effect of this addition will transcend our days in Jesus' name. Thank you for helping us. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Media, are we ready? 4 ways of getting closer to God. Good morning, church. I told myself there that when I get there, I will behave like Sister Muji. It's like, "Muji, I hope you don't mind." Good morning, church. You know, we really get ourselves good morning because we are in church. But it's part of courtesy. It's acceptable. Hallelujah. This morning, we want to spend some time to remind ourselves of some fundamental things we all know. But Reverend once gave an analogy to us, and he had used that several times. He was talking about a football club that had won the previous season, champion of the previous season. And that when they wanted to start preparing for another season, and these are a crop of champions whom the world had acknowledged as the best in their own field, and the coach was fond of doing this. At the beginning of the new season, the first thing he does is as he tells them to say, "Gentlemen, this is football." Does that not sound too preliminary? Just imagine now, you are telling Ronaldo, "This is football." I mean, this man knows the dynamics of that balloon, and he had established it over the years. Yet, the coach feels that to start a season, you need to remind him that what you are working with is not just anything other than this. That's the same thing we want to do this morning. We want to share what we all know. But because we have asked God to give light to his word, something new will be added to us. And I believe that that new thing that is going to be added to us will make impact for our days to come. Hallelujah. One of the things Jesus asked us to do, apart from all that we have come to know, is that we should go out there and tell the gospel to all men. To be his disciple, telling people, being his witnesses. But I hope you know that a witness is actually somebody that is telling of his or her own experience. "I have been there. It happened before me. I have seen it. And therefore, I am telling you that so. To be a witness, you must experience it. And to experience it, you must understand what it is. That is why we are bringing this back this morning. I am sure if you are not a new person in church, you will have seen this before. But can I plead with you? Let's pretend as if we have not had this before. Let's be, like Reverend Missy said, let's be attentive to this, because God has a reason for asking us to consider this morning. Praise the Lord. I usually summarize that this chart that we want to look at is the summary of the Christian faith. We call it four ways of getting close to God. And this is actually what it means. These four principles that we want to remind ourselves of is actually what defines the Christian faith. They are the pillars of the Christian faith. Like, we are also always reminded that this structure is able to stand the storm of these times because of the foundation that had been laid. If a house does not have a strong foundation, like the Bible said, it won't be able to withstand time. You will have seen people in your workplaces that have a different understanding of Christianity. You seem to notice some differences in the way they see God, the way they understand God, the expectations from God, the way they do their thing. It's not their fault. It could be, to a large extent, the foundation of their faith. So this morning, we want to cross-check again the foundations of our faith. And from this chart, which is premised on the principles in the Bible, there are four basic principles that underscore the Christian faith. And the obligation we have is for each and every one of us to understand each of these principles and deploy the understanding for use. And what is the first principle? It is titled the promise. Can we focus on the promise? This is what the promise means, as highlighted by Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 12 to 13. It says, "Then you will call my name. You will come to me and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will find me when you seek me, if you look for me with all your heart." Hallelujah. What this principle is saying is this, that God, the maker of the heaven and the earth, this is his disposition towards humanity. God is saying, look, I am open to humanity. If humanity will come to me and pray to me, I will listen to them. I'm not deaf. I'm not insensitive to humanity. He said, if you seek me with the whole of your heart, you will find me. That is the nature of God. So the first principle is that God is open to what he has created. We are the product of his creation. And the Bible is saying, the mindset, if you permit me to put it, the ideal mode of God is that he's open to us. No wonder. The Bible says even the hairs on our head, they are known to him. Hallelujah. So there is nothing happening in your life that God is not mindful of. And more importantly, is the fact that God is disposed to us. He has a positive disposition towards us. And you notice that this has nothing to do with what you are, who you are, where you are coming from. It is simply because he created you. That is why his disposition towards you is positive. Hallelujah. And we seem to bring this closer home by considering this picture on the left side. It's a treasure box. I'm sure women will understand this box more than men will do. Except a man who, as a young boy, had been going around his mother's room to tinker with her jewelries. If you were a disciplined young man, you may not know this early. Hallelujah. This is a treasure box. And usually, from the background of our knowledge with our mummies, they don't keep panda inside treasure boxes like this. It is precious things they keep there. Jewelries that are expensive. And usually, do our mummies leave them open like this? They don't. Somebody said, not at all. I like you, my brother. They close it because it is not, the mummies don't have a positive disposition towards you when it comes to those treasures. But in this case, the Bible is telling us that God has kept his treasures in a treasure box, and the treasure box is open to you and I. The treasure of living a good life. The treasure of not being barren. The treasure of living in health. The treasure of prosperity is open to us. So if a man is not living in health, it's not God. If anything evil is happening to somebody, it's not because of God. Hallelujah. And if you relate what is written here to what is in the box, what I've just explained, it says, look, if you call me and pray to me, I will listen to you. You will find me. So it means if you ask God for anything in this treasure, God is disposed to giving it to you. Hallelujah. Does that settle us when it comes to God, the nature of God, the disposition of God? Yes. He's not far from us. And that's why it is not proper for any one of us to feel, I am useless. Nobody knows me. I'm not important. You are important to him that created you. If he will open his treasure box of his creation and make it accessible to you, his mind is full of you. That is the consciousness with which we should carry our life. Hallelujah. This is the first principle. You know, the Bible says, can two walk together except they agree? If an individual does not see God like this, the person can't get the best of God. And if somebody feels that, oh, to live to a good old age and see your children's children is by chance, it's not likely that that person will have the fullness of that. Oh, it is because maybe I'm holy, I try to do things right. You are taken away from this open-ended thing. The first place to start is to see God as good and open. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, I said there are four legs in the foundation to Christian faith. This is one leg. What is the other leg? The second principle. The problem. Now, all the picture I have painted about God can simply be put like this. If you need anything, ask God, you will have it. Isn't it? Isn't it? But the question is it every request you have made like that that you have received? No. But again, God has said what he is, that he's open. So if I ask and I'm not getting it, it's not because God kept it. It is because something is interfering with my access. And that is what the second principle is bringing to our attention. And what is the second principle? He says, listen now, according to Isaiah chapter 59, verses 1 and 2. He said, listen now, the Lord isn't too weak to give you that thing you have asked for. He isn't getting deaf. He can hear you when you call. But the trouble is that your sins have cut you off from God. Hallelujah. So, what we are saying is this. There is a problem. But the problem has not invalidated the promise. Because the promise stands on its own. And God's gift is without repentance. God has given and is not holding back. But something is interfering with our access to the promise. And what is it? The Bible says, look, the trouble is your sin. Now, let's clarify this. We all know that we are all progenitors of Adam and Eve. And when Adam and Eve sinned, the Bible has also said that we sinned with them. You know, if somebody's father has the whole of Abeokuta as his asset, if the man dies, and that first son is the only one, who owns the whole of Abeokuta? Along with owning the whole of Abeokuta, if the father, like a typical businessman in Nigeria, is owing $1 trillion, who is owing? Hallelujah. Adam and Eve, we got life through them. Life came to existence through them. That's the treasure. But they also handed alongside with it death, disobedience, and separation from God. That initial separation from God is what the Bible is talking about. It is holding us back from being able to do like this, and it will land on our hands. Hallelujah. So it means we must acknowledge, just the same way we acknowledge and keep acknowledging that God is accessible to us, we must be mindful that, oh, we inherited a limitation to access from our forefathers, forefather and foremother, Adam and Eve. That is a truth. But the good thing is that the story did not end there. And that takes us to the third principle. The price. And what does the price say? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. It says, Christ also suffered. He died once for the sins of all of us guilty sinners, although he himself was innocent of any sin at any time, that he might safely bring us home to God. Hallelujah. The price is saying that, yes, there is a problem of access. And God did not deny that problem, but provided an answer to the question raised by the sin of Adam. I found something interesting here. It says, Christ also suffered. He died once. For what? What was it in the second principle that limited us from God? Our sins. Hallelujah. So, the Bible is saying that in principle, God had opened himself to mankind. Devil came in and stole the liberty and access that God had given mankind relative to the treasure he has for them. But God did not go to sleep. God provided a price. And the price came and paid for what took us away from accessing God. The sin of Adam. Hallelujah. And by the reason of the price, every human being that comes to the knowledge of this price and accepts this as applicable to him or her will be free. That is the essence of the cross of Calvary being the hallmark of our Christian faith. The gateway to the access, the gateway to the treasures that God has for us is the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary. Hallelujah. And taking it further, how does this price apply to you and I? This is the way it applies. Let's look at Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Let's just take a detour back to the renditions of scripture. Romans 10, verse 9. He says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Hallelujah. This scripture is saying that, in principle, Jesus had come and paid for the sin of Adam, and by that payment, he has released humanity from the bondage that was imposed on them by the sin of Adam. However, the principle that underscores the validity of that for each and every believer or every human being is this, that each person must at a time hear that Jesus paid, and the person must believe and indeed confess. It means each and every individual must confess with his mouth, Jesus is Lord. And after confessing it, believe it, that God raised him from the dead. And by that, that person will be saved. You know, Reverend Mrs. also explained it. He says salvation means every provision of God being available to you. That is the meaning of salvation. What Jesus did was to redeem us from having been lost and having no access to a state of being qualified to access. Hallelujah. And that was why Jesus said, look, I have given you my name as the authority you can use on my behalf. Because Jesus, when he rose from the dead, defeated the devil. But for each and every human being, you must come to the knowledge of this truth and do it. And that's why we talk about confessing Jesus as your Lord and Savior and being born again. Permit me to digress. We have seen people that if you ask them, are you born again? Yes, I'm born again. Why do you think you are born again? I just know I'm born again. Okay, what underscores your being born again? I just know I'm born again. They do not understand the meaning. You are born again because you heard that Jesus went to the cross, died for your sin, and rose from the dead, and you confessed it, that is applicable to you, and by reason of your confession, you become born again. Somebody says, but how can mere confession change me, make me a new creature? It will make you a new creature because God had designed it to be like that. Hallelujah. And a semblance of that is this. A sizable number of people are married here. And permit me to use the issues of our courtship. I say courtship because I'm one of them. As an example, when you were courting your wife, or if you are a brother here, well, you are not likely to be here. You'll be in third service. That is courting a lady. There is no manner of niceties that the lady or your fiancé, or is it fiancé now? Fiancé? Because I confuse it too. Hallelujah. There's no amount of niceties that she would dispose then that will make you know that she has agreed to marry you. I mean, she could be so nice that she, before you come, prepare food. She say very pleasant, send you letters, thank you, talk about you. It's so nice. But until she says to you and you hear, I have agreed to be your wife, you won't be convinced, would you? And meanwhile, if you take it further, just imagine the woman with her worth converting the whole of her essence to becoming your own. Women, bear with me. I'm being a man here. How can a woman with all her degrees, her soundness of mind, her spiritual stature, her worth, be converted to becoming Mrs. Ade by I do? Have you wondered? It is I do that will make Joy Atungu, I hope you don't mind, I'm using you as an example. When she gets married, she will order either a lawyer, drop Atungu, or join Atungu with a phrase to another name. With all the money the father and the mother are spending on her, it means your utterances are not ordinary. Hallelujah. That is to show us how weighty and how important it is when you say, Jesus, I confess you as my Lord and Savior. I believe in my heart that you are raised from the dead. The host of heaven will recognize it. You know why? When you say it, not each time, you don't have to say it over and over. You say it once and believe it. When you make that confession, the demons hear you. Their father, the devil, will hear you. The host of heaven, the angels, will hear you. God will hear you. Jesus will hear you. People like you will hear you. And the Bible says, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Hallelujah. And that's why when you confess that you believe that Jesus died for your sin, you automatically become excused from the problem. You won't feel it. You won't know it. But that is the truth. And the responsibility you owe is to start to believe and hold it in the forefront that I am delivered. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. You see, scriptures in the Bible would tell you that he became poor so that you can become rich. Why? He paid the sin that makes poverty to find a reason to be established in your life has been paid for. We say, by his stripe, I have been healed. Why? Because on the cross of Calvary, he took those lashes, and by taking it, he removed the right of Satan to inflict you with sickness. Hallelujah. This is the foundation of our Christian faith. This is what makes us different from an average person on the street. Now, something most fundamental comes along with the price. It is the fact that the moment you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your worth changes. Hallelujah. Just like the worth of a woman changes when she gets married. If she doesn't know it, it is a fact. She has joined with somebody else and they will chase 10,000. As an individual, irrespective of the word, she could chase 1,000. But the moment she joins with a man, she could chase 10,000. The moment she joins with a man, she becomes a matriarch of a generation to come. Hallelujah. There is a blessing of God that is repositioned for her. Glory be to God. I feel like saying this. You know, if you check your Bible, Jesus has this soft spot for mothers. Check. Most places when he comes around women and mothers, there is a disposition of grace and favor. It is because of the manifestation of that new status. They are the bearers of the future. Hallelujah. So when a woman joins with a man, she takes on a new stature that is endued with the glory of God. Without the woman, the next generation won't be. So it means she's important to God. But that stature came by, I agree, and by acknowledging that even when nothing has changed, I am a new person. And really, our wives had actually lived that out. Nothing will have changed after marriage, but you have this assurance that you are not who you were 3 days before marriage. Hallelujah. And it's the same thing. You and I, when we gave our life to Jesus, our status changed. And you know one interesting aspect of the status that sometimes we trivialize is the fact that you cease to be just an ordinary creation. You cease to become just an alien in the household or in the presence of God. You became a child of God. The Bible says we are heirs and co-heirs with Christ. It means everything that God has kept here on planet Earth, you have a right to it. And there is nothing that God has here that is not good. Hallelujah. That is why in Christ Jesus, there is no limit to your accomplishments. There's no limit to what God can do with your life. What you are feeling now is not a manifest, it's not a definition of your future. Your future is defined in Him that has given you a new identity. Hallelujah. That's why it says we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. It means no matter what I said this morning, no matter the mistake I made while I was driving here to a taxi driver, when I say, Abba Father, the maker of the heaven and earth, yes. Oh, glory. Imagine this slim looking brother Ade talking and God hearing. Hey, I'm not ordinary then. You are not ordinary either. Hallelujah. And you know what? We must believe this and carry this like a toga on ourselves to run life. Go to life with this consciousness. The sacrifice has been paid. The devil has no authority over your life. Like we're told in first service, there's a progress in your life and you are hiding it because you are afraid of somebody. It's unnecessary. Your progress is insured. The blood of Jesus insured it. Your assurance that you are in Him assures it. Say, there's now no condemnation that those that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, the law of the Spirit of life has redeemed me from the law of sin and death. So it is impossible for the devil to do me harm. Because I have been repositioned from darkness to light. I'm existing on the crest of His grace. Hallelujah. You know, something I said over the week, I kept saying it when I am driving with my wife and my family. And you will have noticed it. God is doing, in fact, good is happening more than evil in our days now. Just consider it. Drive from Ianuachari to FMC and look at the amount of carelessness with which people drive on the road. the Okadas, the Kekenapep, even the drivers, even the pedestrians crossing the road, you see that people live life carelessly. They do things that should have resulted in accident, and the accidents don't happen. Who is in charge of that? God. Hallelujah. You know, one day I was also wondering, you know, Pastor used to say it, there is no news here, but if any accidents happen now, news, they will make it news. You know why it is news? It is not happening as frequently as good is happening. We are experiencing more of good than the intermittent evil. Where am I going? If people, the general population, who do not know Christ, will enjoy that cover, how much more you and I? How much more you and I? The rain will fall. He will fall even on an unbeliever. His farm will still bear fruits. How much more you, who has redeemed? Hallelujah. It is imperative on every believer to carry this around. I have been redeemed from the curse of the law. Whatever devil has no right to manifest in my life. And everything God has provided, I have a right to it. My right to it is not because of what I am, what I do, or what I know. It's primarily because I am in the light. He said in him is light. The life is the light of men. Oh, glory. And the light shines forth in darkness. You are the light that is shining forth in this darkness. He says the darkness of this world cannot, by the design of God, overwhelm you. But the key is this. You must believe. You must envision your future from the consciousness of this. Hallelujah. I'm emphasizing this because this is the crux of our Christian faith. You know, sometimes people will say, I got born again. How did you get born again? I'm just born again. It happens. People get into a clique or a gathering of people that are godly, and over time they just transmute into becoming Christians. I even go the extreme. If you cannot remember the day you confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, please do it so that you can remember when you did it. So that you can be sure that you did it. Hallelujah. And I have something else to add. If anybody, having received Christ as the Lord and Savior and becomes redeemed, dies, the person will go to heaven. I hope you remember that we have been taught, according to the scriptures, that our righteousness is not because of what we do. It is because of the status that we have acquired by reason of the sacrifice of Jesus. So, it is your righteousness that takes you to heaven, not your works. Your work is holiness. Righteousness is what transmutes. You are already a child of God. You have a place in his kingdom. So, being born again has settled the issue of going to heaven. But I am sure nobody wants to go to heaven now. As beautiful as it, we are told it is. And as the Bible says, we still want to enjoy this place. Hallelujah. It means we want to be here for the next 40 years. Can you imagine Nigeria? God will change it in Jesus' name. Things will get better. But there should be some skirmishes along the line. Can you imagine what it would look like in 40 years' time? Now, God knows that the situation in Nigeria will be like this in 2023, as far back as when we were born. And he had made provisions for us to be where we are, to ride on the crest of the oddities of this time and keep singing glory to his name. One of those things he did is what underscores the fourth principle. The fourth principle, please. The power. Hallelujah. The power takes its root from Romans chapter 8, verse 26. And we are familiar with this. It says, the Holy Spirit helps us in our daily with our daily problems and in our praying. For we don't even know what we should pray for, nor how to pray as we should. But the Holy Spirit prays for us with such feeling that it cannot be expressed in our words. Hallelujah. And the Father who knows all heart knows, of course, what the Spirit is saying as he, the Spirit, pleads for us in harmony with God's own will. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I forgot to talk about the illustrations on the other principles, but I think the Holy Spirit wants me to remind this, to remember this. If you look at the illustration by the side of the scripture, it is the socket we have in our houses. A power source. It means the power is in the socket, but for you to access and put it to value, you must put your knob into it. It means that there could be power from the supplier. I don't want to call it NEPA because it is no longer NEPA, but I can't remember what they call it. The name is a bit clumsy to remember. If, except you work there or you do business with them, you won't remember easily. If there is power in the socket and somebody does not know that he should fix it, it won't serve him. But does that mean there's no power in it? Therefore, this principle is saying, look, because God knows that the devil owns this place and he has made provisions for us to rise above whatever the devil can do, he has given us his nature that by itself is higher than the devil. The nature of God is higher than the devil. And God has given us an enablement which wish to exploit his nature here. And that is what the Bible is describing. So it says, the Holy Spirit helps us with our daily problems. And in particular, our praying. Reverend said something last week. I can't remember whether Tuesday or Friday or Sunday. He said, the devil is also running roughshod here. We are seeing more of God, but at intermittent times when he comes in to do his harm, it makes significant impact. And he says, because he's doing that because he has the authority given to him by our forefathers, for which we have been excused. But the little that is left in his hands, he's using it to mess things up. And he says, because he has a right to do that, we should pray. We should pray because the devil has a right to do whatever he's doing here. The only thing is that the right does not extend into our own lives. But we can give God a place to manifest when we pray. So praying is not something we do because we want to have a psychological feeling that we have pleased God today. It is more a way of cooperating with God in order to lay hold of the treasure box. Good life, blessings, mercy, good health. Hallelujah. Now, the Bible is telling us that that praying itself, we can't do it enough. We can't do it properly. We need God to help us to pray to God. And he gave that to us by giving us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Wherein, when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit, you do no longer pray the way you know to pray. You just step aside and allow the Spirit of God in you to pray to God what God wants to hear. Hallelujah. In particular, he says he helps us with our daily problems and in our prayers. It means that praying is an area where we are not getting things right. And the Holy Spirit has been positioned to help us. Where am I going? This is where I'm going. That God, through Christ Jesus, has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, ability to pray in other tongues, whereby the Spirit of God that has become one with our own spirit, we now pray exactly what God wants us to pray on every issue. Hallelujah. My brother is sitting here. His phone is a fine phone. If he has made up his mind to bless me, illustration new. If he has made up his mind to bless me with his phone this morning, and I just walk up to him and say, bro, I like your wristwatch. Will I get it? I won't get it. And I will leave the place thinking that that brother doesn't like me. But it's because I got it wrong. Just imagine I had an insight. Maybe the wife sent me a text and told me, brother, when you come to my husband, do like his phone. And I said, bro, how will I like this phone? Will it be easy for him to give it to me? Will he give it to me? And I will leave the place feeling like a champion. That is what God intends that will happen to us on a daily basis. The Holy Spirit knows what God had provided for us. But in our own limited understanding, we don't know. And when we want to pray, we are not going to pray the way he expects us to pray or ask for what we ought to ask for. So the Holy Spirit of God, who was there and who is still there when the provisions were made, is like spying, in quotes, on the provision and telling me to ask for it. From this, is it needful for a born-again Christian to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Is it a matter of my church? Hallelujah. And some people will say, I need to mature to be able to pray in the Holy Spirit, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If I become mature without it, do I still need it? You need it to be matured. Hallelujah. It means if you are born again, you have settled it. You are on the side of God. But if you are not baptized with the Holy Spirit and you don't speak in tongues and run your life on the crest of this ability and the blessing it gives, you are like a man going to Lagos and you choose to go to Kuto and you decided that those boys, they drink shekpe. I can't trust my life into the hands of this driver. I'd rather trek to Lagos. Yes. You know, that brother will get to Lagos in the next 3 days. He will get to Lagos. Imagine you, a man of faith, woman of faith, you get there, you look at him, and you remember that you have redeemed from the cause of the law, and you by faith enter and just thank God for a safe journey. Will you get to Lagos? Now, if your supervisor comes in 3 days' time and wants to send somebody to Abuja to do a noble job, among the two of you, you that got there by transport 3 days ago, and the man that just got there on his legs today, who will he send to Abuja? You know the answer. Hallelujah. That is what it is like when a believer is not baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's standing on 3 legs of the Christian faith. And now, give us the full presentation of the church, media. If you look at the full presentation, the arrow goes from promise to the problem, from the problem to the price, from the price to the power, and from power to the source. That is why when you are baptized with the Holy Spirit after having been saved, your access to the treasures is seamless. Hallelujah. You wonder, why have we gone through all of this? 2 reasons. To renew ourselves and remind ourselves of this truth so that we can carry this consciousness and run with it. Hallelujah. And 2, when you come across people and you need to do the business of being a witness for Christ, this is the principle. Hallelujah. Let's bow our heads and just thank God for the sacrifice on the cross of Calvary, which is the crux of our Christian faith. Let's start to bless the Lord for the gift that Jesus gave to us when he rose from the dead. The Bible assures us that he kept captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Let's thank God for the sacrifice that is applicable to us. Let's thank God for the death of Jesus on the cross of Calvary. And please, I want all eyes closed, please. If you are here, you have not confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, or you are not sure you actually did it, although you've been gravitating with everybody and calling yourself a Christian, or you feel that your life has not been really manifesting the fact that you are born again, you are in and out, dealing, not sure, I just want you to do this with me. I want all eyes closed, please. My sister, close your eyes. Thank you. Hallelujah. And please, if you are in the category of you have not confessed Jesus before, you can't remember when you did it, or you just want to renew it for assurance, say this after me. Father, in the name of Jesus, I come before you this morning to confess Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. I believe in my heart that he's risen from the dead. And I give you glory for the fact that I belong to him now. Thank you, Jesus, for redeeming me from the curse of the law. I declare with thanksgiving, I belong to Jesus. I'm a child of God, and I give God the glory in the mighty name of Jesus. Let's the rest of us just thank God for this, and the rest of us with our eyes closed. If you are here, you are born again, but you don't speak in tongues. Let me put it plainly as that. You are not baptized with the Holy Spirit. You have not manifested the gift by being able to speak in tongues. With all eyes closed, please, I just want you to just lift up your hands. If you are here, you don't speak in tongues yet, lift up your hands so that we can pray with you. Like I said, if you are a believer and you don't speak in tongues yet, you are going to run the course of this life on your strength. And God has not intended it that way. It is not about my church likes it. It's an individual thing, just like your salvation. If you are here, you are not speaking in tongues yet, we're waiting for you. Let's join with you to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And let the rest of us start to pray in the Holy Spirit now. Let's explore that we have. As an individual, please just bless the Lord in tongues. With your eyes closed, just focus on God and bless Him in the Holy Spirit. Let's start to bless God in the Holy Spirit. Let's start to bless God in the Holy Spirit. Let's do this. Let's do it. He says, build up your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Let's pray in the Holy Spirit. Let's just do this more. Oh, glory to you, Jesus. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. Let's bring to fore the treasures of His grace in our lives by praying in the Holy Spirit. He said, build up our most holy faith. He said, he that prays in tongues edifies himself. Let's just build that up. Let's build up our faith this morning. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. Thank you, our Father. Thank you, our Father. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. Let's pray in tongues. Thank you, our Lord.
If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the evidence of speaking in tongues,